You're listening to Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here back at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Upon Further Review, brought to you by our pals at Coors Light. And everybody, I'm feeling good. I hope you're feeling good. Your Las Vegas Raiders are 1-0. They took down the Baltimore Ravens in to say they took them down in dramatic fashion, I think does a disservice to the word dramatic as well as what we saw on Monday night at Allegiant Stadium. But all the same, the Raiders are 1-0. Things are looking good. The weather is cooling down here in Las Vegas, and the sun is shining. And you come out of a W, and I've said this a million times, you walk a little bit taller, your clothes fit a little bit better, food tastes a little bit more savory and delicious. Life is good when you are winning, and this is a great week to be a fan of the Las Vegas Raiders. And we are in just a few minutes going to talk to our guest this week, one of the guys who very low-key had a fantastic Monday night, a guy that not enough people are talking about his performance. That's Denzel Perryman, who was tied for the team lead with 10 tackles just a few nights ago. But man, what an incredible evening in Las Vegas. What a fantastic evening. Yes, it was crazy. Yes, it was weird. Yes, we felt every single emotion on the spectrum over that final fourth quarter and overtime. So it was like, I don't want to say like 20 some odd minutes of real time. I laughed. I cried. I wept. I did it all. But at the end of the day, the Las Vegas Raiders took care of business, handling the Baltimore Ravens. And now they sit tied for the division lead in the AFC West at 1-0. But what an incredible evening. An absolutely incredible evening. And we will talk about that in just a little bit. We'll talk about that with Denzel Perryman as well. But now our focus, as we come to you, and this episode drops on a Thursday, the focus for the Las Vegas Raiders, the focus for John Gruden, Gus Bradley, Ole, and everyone on their collective is this Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who are also 1-0, who also handled business over the weekend, taking down the Buffalo Bills. And now the Raiders fly east, which is no easy task. As we know, you look at all the stats and, you know, teams from the West Coast, from the Western or the Pacific time zone going east, playing that early morning time slot, yada, yada, yada. We've heard it all a million times. And this is going to be a tough game for your Las Vegas Raiders. And we will talk about that with our guest Denzel Perryman as well. But before we get into all that, before we break down the Steelers, before we look ahead, before we look back, before we do it all, we begin, as we always do, my friends, with our transactions brought to you by Shift4 Payments. And as we usually do, as we always do, I should say, we will go in chronological order since the last time we spoke. So, on September 13th, the Silver and Black activated running back Trey Regis from the practice squad. And Trey did not play on Monday night against the Ravens. He also didn't play along with Peyton Barber. And the very next day on 9/14, the Silver and Black reverted Trey back to the practice squad. And we've talked about the kind of comings and goings of the roster and how in the 2021 version of the NFL, you can be a lot more flexible with your roster management. And I've said it a million times, and I will say it once again today. I am a huge fan of that for the moments like this in terms of Trey's elevation and then being reverted back to the practice squad. Anyways, and then today, as we record this on a Wednesday, on September 15th, the Raiders signed defensive tackle Damian Square, place guard Denzel Good, and defensive tackle Gerald McCoy on injured reserve. They also signed safety HaHa Clinton Dix to the practice squad and released cornerback Madre Harper from the practice squad. Additionally, they also signed guard Jordan Simmons to the active roster from the Seattle Seahawks practice squad. So that brings us into our first headline of the week. And we're going to talk about the game and kind of all the excitement and everything that it brought to this city, this organization, et cetera, in just a few. But let's just start here. Gerald McCoy. You have got to feel for Gerald McCoy, a dude who missed the entirety of the 2020 season due to injury, a guy who shows up here in Henderson in really good shape, a guy who has shown, granted it was through kind of bits and spurts in the preseason, has shown he's got a lot left in the tank. He is motivated to be here. He is excited to be back doing what he loves. And then boom, all of a sudden, first game out of the gates, Monday Night Football, down he goes, and he has to get carted off. And look, as I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to prognosticate about exactly what happened to Gerald, exactly how long he is going to be out. But the fact that he has been put on injured reserve gives us a very, very strong indication that if his season is not over, a majority of his season is over. And so I think we look at this from a couple arenas, right? I think arena number one, viewpoint number one, you got to feel absolutely terrible for this dude. From everything that we have heard about Gerald McCoy, he is a guy who changes the scope, who changes the viewpoint, who changes exactly what your defensive line can be. He is a game changer. And the fact that he waited for this opportunity for 18 months and the first day out in a regular season game this happens, absolutely gutted for Gerald. Now, shifting to the football side of things, what does this mean for the defensive line in general? And that is a good question. And that is a question that we will not have a full answer to probably for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. Because when Mike Mayock first got here, and Mike has been very consistent in this messaging, he said that when you talk to quarterbacks around the NFL, the one thing that all of them, to a man, say that they do not like dealing with is pressure up the middle, is interior pressure. And that is what Gerald McCoy brings. That is what Gerald McCoy brought. That is what he has done his entire career. He went to numerous Pro Bowls. He was named an All-Pro player because of that. Because of that penetration right up the middle. Getting in quarterback's face. Yes, being a space eater. Yes, keeping people uncomfortable. Yes, clogging up holes. Yes, being a dominant force in the run game. But also applying that interior pressure that we know is so coveted in today's version of the NFL. And when you do that, when you are Gerald McCoy and when you can apply that pressure, not only does it make life easier for the guy next to you, it makes a life a whole heck of a lot easier for Max Crosby. It makes a whole life a whole heck of a lot easier for Yannick Ngakoue, and we'll hear about Yannick in just a second as well. But now how do you kind of replicate that? How do you replace his production? And it sounds crazy to say that about a guy who literally played, let me pull up the game book here, a guy who didn't play a whole heck of a lot on Monday night in literally his first game in silver and black. So how do you replicate that? How do you reproduce that as I scroll through the game book trying to find Gerald McCoy's his eventual numbers? So Gerald only played 9 snaps. 9 snaps, 13%. And as I said, with those big fellas up front, you don't expect to see them playing 30, 40, 50 snaps, especially in a Gus Bradley defense where we've heard so much about the rotation and the importance of that rotation. But all the same, there are not a lot of Gerald McCoys just walking around this beautiful blue marble that we're spinning around on, right? There simply aren't. So who on this team, who over the next couple weeks, especially in the interim, right, in the immediate, who steps up and helps apply that pressure? Because the version of the Raiders defense that we saw, specifically that defensive line, I don't know if we've seen that version of the Raiders defense in a while. We consistently saw pressure. And I was talking with Jason Fitz about this on our postgame show, shout out to the Fifth Quarter. I was talking to Fitz about this. I said, Fitz, you know, we saw this for a little bit at times last year, right? We would see a half of really nice pressure. We would say, oh, you know, the defensive line really had a nice 2 series here. Oh, they had a good, you know, quarter and a half, and then things kind of got away from them. What we saw on Monday night at Allegiant was 60 minutes, well, more than 60 minutes, I should say, but we saw a full game of sustained pressure from the entire defensive line. We saw that from Max Crosby. We saw that from Yannick Ngakoue. We saw that from the collective. You look at Carl Nassib, he forces a fumble. I mean, you saw an active defensive line, and we saw it for a full 60 minutes. As I said, we did not see that a year ago. So if you are a fan of the Las Vegas Raiders, you have got to be going into week 2 now very, very encouraged by what you have seen from that group. But all the same, it is going to be something that we're keeping an eye on, especially going into Pittsburgh on Sunday, especially when you are going against a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, who is a physical behemoth. He's a huge dude, man. He is a really, really big guy. He is hard to get down on the ground. It is just a challenge to make him uncomfortable. And I think you'd be coming to this game, and I think the one benefit of kind of coming into this game off Lamar is you're just coming off of a game where you had an incredible test at quarterback. Lamar Jackson, and I will tell you guys this, seeing Lamar in person, I saw Lamar in person his rookie year, but haven't seen him in person for the past couple seasons. Lamar is a different dude. They are not building very many Lamar Jacksons. This guy is an incredible athlete. And to say he's an incredible athlete, I think almost does him a disservice, because whatever the step is beyond incredible, I think that's where Lamar Jackson comes in. And there were so many plays watching the game back the other day where you're watching that game from Monday night, and there's one that stuck in my head. I want to say it was late third quarter, early fourth quarter, where both Max and Yannick both get home. They both beat their guys. They win their assignment. And Lamar Jackson just goes, swoop, 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 just dances through both of them. And it is like, I don't know how you game plan against that. Like, that, those are the moments where you're like, yo, this dude is just different. Like, that is, at the end of the day, he is just different. So the Raiders come into this game against the Steelers with kind of a nice kind of warm-up in terms of going against shifty, slippery quarterbacks. And Big Ben is not Lamar, right? Like, Big Ben is not going to be out in the open field. He's not going to be dancing and putting our cornerbacks on skates. That's not his game. But all the same, in his own way, he is very, very difficult to take down. And we will talk about the Steelers. We will talk about all the challenges that they are going to present for your Las Vegas Raiders in just a sec. But let us just rewind just a few minutes, just a little bit, and go back to Monday night. And we have talked about the game a lot on the fifth quarter. So go listen to that. Eddie and Fitz, shameless plug alert. But really what I want to focus on here is I just want to talk about what this moment felt like on Monday night. And we have heard over the past 2+ years about how the first game at Allegiant, and at the time when we were having these conversations, we're saying that, oh, the first game at Allegiant is going to be incredible. But then that, as we all know, the narrative shifts that the first game with fans at Allegiant is going to be incredible. And really, it did not disappoint in the least. It did not disappoint. I was so, I don't want to say pleasantly surprised, but I was just so excited about the energy level in that building. The fans brought the heat. They brought the energy. It was loud. Like, it was really, really loud. Like, there were a couple points during the game where I'm looking to the guys next to me in the box, and I'm like, bro, like, I haven't experienced this in so long where you're like, I can't hear. You're kind of like, you know, you're having to gesticulate with your hands about, like, oh, what time is it? Or this is, you know, X, Y, and Z is going on. And it was a blast. I think that having Too Short and Ice Cube out there at halftime was awesome. It was so cool. Gladys Knight did an incredible anthem. The show itself was fantastic. It was a great show. But I think really, when you look back to that game, and yes, the win is incredible. It was one of the weirdest, craziest, funkiest, most exciting, electrifying, whatever you want to call it, games that you will ever see. But I think 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when we're looking back at that game, we're just going to remember the environment. We're going to remember what it meant to this city. We're going to remember what it meant to this organization to have an incredible experience for the fans, to have an incredible experience for these people that have waited and waited and waited to go see the Raiders play, to watch their team, for them to have that. And then to see, like I said, one of the craziest, gnarliest games you'll ever see was so cool. It was a blast. I am still tired. I am still trying to pick my energy up after that game, because you leave a game like that just emotionally. I don't even want to say you leave a game like that. You leave an event like that. You leave a moment in time like that. And you're just like, how do I pick myself up? Like, man, I'm not a huge coffee guy. Like, I'll have a coffee like maybe once or twice a week. Like, I'm going to be on like 8 coffees by the end of this week, because it took so much out of you in a good way. And it was just so much fun, man. And like I said, things on the field obviously turned for the better. And it was just such an incredible night from start to finish. And it was fantastic. That's all I can say. It was just fantastic. And the cherry on top of that incredible evening in Las Vegas, right off the strip, is the fact that our very own Max Crosby has been named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 1. Crosby, in his first game as a team captain, let's underline that one right there. In his first, in bold, underline, game as a team captain, Crosby finished his game with 6 tackles, 4 quarterback hits, and 2 sacks. And the fact that he did it against Lamar Jackson, as I was saying just a second ago, one of the shiftiest, kind of funky dudes in the NFL, I think just speaks even more to Max's incredible evening. And man, we have heard all offseason from Max about how he's come in into this season, how he's come into now year 3, and he's feeling like he's becoming the best version of himself. Obviously, the story of what Max has done off the field in terms of improving his life there has been well documented, something we're all very, very proud of him for. But now, you look at Max Crosby on the field, and ooh, boy, oh boy. It remains to be seen of how much of Yannick Ngakoue we're going to see this Sunday against the Steelers. But regardless, Max showed, I can do this. And look, he has nothing to prove to anyone, right? He comes in double-digit sacks as a rookie. I mean, people know what Max Crosby's about. They absolutely know who he is, what he can be, who he's capable of being. And now I think I have a feeling, a good feeling, that in 2021, we are going to see the very best version of Max Crosby that we have seen since he really put on those silver and black jerseys. So with that said, I have rambled on long enough. I teased it at the top of the show. We have a great conversation on deck with Denzel Perryman. We talk Steelers. We talk Monday night. We talk Lamar Jackson. We talk his transition to this beautiful city that we all now call home, Las Vegas, Nevada. So without further ado, enjoy our conversation with linebacker Denzel Perryman. And man, we're just so excited to be joined by our guest for this week on Upon Further Review, Denzel Perryman. And Denzel, first off, man, thank you for hanging out with us. But let's just go back and kind of look at the timeline here. I'm looking at my notes. So you arrive here on September 1st. Fast forward to September 13th, and you are leading the team in tackles. Like, how would you kind of describe the last 2 weeks for you?
Last 2 weeks have been crazy, man. Got that phone call. What day you said it was? September 1st?
September 1, baby.
Yes, I got that call, about coming here. Obviously, I've been with, Coach Gus Bradley and this defense for 4 years. So, just coming back, it's just a small adjustment for me to make. And as far as, the tackles and everything, man, that's just, me just playing ball, man, being out there having fun with the guys.
You talk about Gus, and that's obviously, I would assume, a big reason why you're here. But if Gus wasn't here, right, if Gus was not in this picture, how much harder would that transition have been for you to come in and just, like I said, 2 weeks later, be balling out on a game day?
Man, honestly, if he wasn't here, it's still, adjustment. At the end of the day, man, it's a business. Just make it, a whole lot easier that, I'm coming in, the coach that, I'm familiar with, the systems. I've been in, like I said, for 4 years. So, it wasn't, that much of an adjustment. But, before I got here, I had to make an adjustment. So,
going back to Monday night now, your first game as a Raider, probably the craziest game that a lot of us have seen in quite some time. And I'm curious, just from your perspective, like, did you guys all think that Brian scored that touchdown just as much as we did?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, people watch, but we stormed the field. We thought the game was over with. And then, after a while, it was just like, we got to wait on the review, make sure it's confirmed touchdown. And then, everything happening, you're just sitting there like, oh, my God, what is going on? Thought the game was over, a couple minutes ago. But, we ain't let that get to us, on the defensive standpoint. We just put our hats on, mouthpiece in, chin strap buckle, let's get it done.
Emotionally, how hard is it to kind of flip that switch? And like you said, you're in celebration mode. You're like, oh, man, 1-0, incredible night here in Vegas. And like, oh, okay, now we need to go out there. And the defense actually ended up making a huge play that changed the course of that game. But how do you kind of flip that emotional switch?
Man, like you said, man, you just got to flip that switch, man. No, we can't sit here and dwell on what offense did. That's over with. You just got to move on to the next play. And that's what we did, man. It was a sudden change, and, you just treat it like a normal quarter.
Just if you're a fan of this team, the one thing that you've really watched over the past couple months is this entire defense, really the linebacking core in particular, get rebuilt from 2020 to now. So now looking at things from your point of view, how have you and Corey and KJ kind of been developing and growing together over, like I said, the past 2 weeks, as crazy as that sounds?
Man, we all, we're all just gelling together, man. We finding out, how he plays, how I play, how Corey plays, KJ plays. And we all just learning from each other, man. Me and KJ both, had Gus Bradley been in his system, but it's still some things that I ask him, still some things that they ask me, and even with Corey, it's like we all just asking questions, learning off each other, just getting to know each other.
For the three of you guys in particular, is there any way that you can kind of speed up that gelling and that development, or is it really just spending time together, getting a chance to be on the practice field together and kind of time on task?
You hit it on the head, man. It's just, spending time together, being in the practice field. Obviously, the meeting room, we can talk and communicate, but, actually being on the field, running through things, going through things, makes it a whole lot easier.
Obviously, we're coming off a huge win on Monday night, but the opposite side of that is, hey, we're operating on a short week now. So off to Pittsburgh tomorrow to take on a really good Steelers team. A Steelers team that has kind of over the past, 10, 15 years, really been a team consistently. They, you know what they're going to do on offense. Big Ben is a beast. When you go in and you kind of have your first look at this Steelers team, what kind of stands out to you in terms of what they do well offensively?
Like you said, man, we know they're the Steelers, man, and we know how their offense run. We know how their whole teams run. They're a very physical team. They're very competitive. competitive. Like you say, you know, you got Big Ben back there. He has many weapons, you know, and, you know, and they're trying to establish, you know, running the football. So, you know, we got to make him one-dimensional, you know, as far as, like, game plan-wise, you know, just slow something down, you know. But, you know, we know what the Steelers' offense are or that organization is in general.
You know, in terms of Big Ben, is he – I imagine he's got to be one of the harder quarterbacks to just take down in the NFL, right?
They call him Big Ben for a reason. They call him Big Ben for a reason.
I mean, is there any secret to kind of handling business with him behind the line of scrimmage, or is it just as simple as like, hey, me and my boys got to make sure they're all together, we're all pulling the same direction.
Yeah,
man,
just got to ride it to the football, man. You got to ride it to the ball.
Just wrapping up here with Denzel Perryman. And Denzel, I'm curious, man, you've been here, like I said, you know, call it 2 weeks for the sake of round numbers. Have you had a chance to do anything, to experience anything here in Vegas? Or has it been like, hey, facility back to house, facility back to house?
It's really been all just books and ball, man. I call it books and ball, like I'm in school, but it's really just been, you know, just football, man. And, you know, I have my downtime, you know, just taking care of the body and, you know, watching film.
I'd read that book. Books and Ball by Denzel Perryman, by Professor Denzel.
Oh, man, nah, don't put Professor.
Well, hey, man, I really appreciate it. I know it's a crazy week for you guys, like I said, on the short week. So I appreciate you taking some time for us, man. Stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck in Pittsburgh.
Thank you, man. And I appreciate you having me on.
And a big thank you to Denzel Perryman, and a big thank you to our public relations staff for getting him on the, well, I could say it's not a phone, getting him on camera, whatever proper terminology we're using these days. Thank you for coming on the show, Denzel Perryman. We greatly appreciate it. And before we get out of here and we crack an ice-cold Coors Light and continue on our way as we get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's talk about those Pittsburgh Steelers for a few minutes, shall we? So the Steelers, and it feels like every year, guys, that we talk about, oh, this is the year the Steelers are done. This is the year the Steelers are done. And every single year they say, not so fast. And that was the case once again as they opened up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, a Buffalo Bills team that I think most people think is going to be really, really good, a Buffalo Bills team that is going to challenge for the title in the AFC and could possibly, are they going to end up being the AFC representative in the Super Bowl? Only time will tell. But give credit to the Steelers, man, because they go into Buffalo, they fall down early, they are down 10-0, and then they come back and they win 23-13. And Big Ben, man, it was just another kind of classic Big Ben day at the office for him. He goes 18 of 32, 188 yards with a single touchdown. The numbers, per usual, as has kind of been the case over the past, I don't know, 1 to 2 years of Big Ben, not overly impressive. Really not overly impressive at all. Really, the Steelers only muster 75 yards on the ground as well. So a weird kind of funky, prototypical funky week one game for the Steelers. But what they do year after year, they just make it so hard on you. They make it so hard for you to do your thing. And look, regardless of what's happening in the offensive side of the football, they still have TJ Watt, who is one of the premier edge rushers in the NFL. That Pittsburgh defense every single year is a problem. Every single year. Doesn't matter the pieces, doesn't matter the coordinator, doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, sleeting, 100 degrees, does not matter. The Pittsburgh defense is a defense that you have got to respect. And the thing is, especially now with an offensive line that is once again going to be going through some new versions, some new iterations as we descend into week two. I mean, you have got to be, if you are the Raiders, if you are Tom Cable, you have got to have your front five ready to go. Because I promise you this, the Steelers front seven is going to be ready to rock. They are always ready to rock. So from Colton Miller on the left all the way to the rookie Alex Leatherwood on the right, this group, this Raiders offensive line has got to be ready to do their thing. It is going to be tough sledding against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this is it, man. This is what you love about the NFL. Monday was great. Monday was an incredible experience. We loved everyone in this building every single second of Monday night. Well, we're on the short week now, and now you shift your focus ahead to the next challenge on the calendar, and that challenge this week comes in the form of Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I cannot wait. An early Sunday morning kickoff, that 10 a.m. kick, a kick that I, as a morning guy, frankly love. Like, I love getting up in the morning, kind of going through my routine, and say, hey, let's spend the morning watching football. Nothing better, and I cannot wait. I really cannot wait. It's going to be so much fun. And just think about this. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but if your Las Vegas Raiders can handle business, if they can come back to the desert 2-0 with the Miami Dolphins coming to town, ooh, that stadium is going to be electric on September 26th, and not just because it's my birthday. And it is my birthday, but we'll get to that later. I'm sure we'll talk about that in the next couple episodes of the show. But regardless, man, it is going to be so much fun. A tough task for the silver and black flying across the country. We hear this all the time about what a challenge it is for teams to fly east, to have that early morning time slot, to get motivated, to be ready to go, to keep their body clocks consistent. But it is going to be a tough challenge. It is going to be a good challenge to kind of help us learn a little bit more about the 2021 Las Vegas Raiders. And that really, guys, is our goal every week. To just learn a little bit more about this team, to kind of put the mosaic together, to add another tile here, to add another splash of color here. So at the end of the season, we can see really what the 2021 Raiders were about. But before we get out of here, before we hit the dusty trail, it is time, as it always is, to crack an ice-cold Coors Light for the road. And I will say this week, I don't have to think about it too much. Everybody, I know who I'm cracking my cold one for. This cold one belongs to none other than the cash money man himself, Daniel Carlson, who set a career-long field goal, 55 yards, to get this game to overtime. And this guy has just, since he arrived in Oakland at the time and now into Las Vegas, has been as solid can be. He has been, and look, I will say it, I've said it for, you know, I essentially said it last year, Daniel Carlson is a Pro Bowl kicker. The fact that he was not in the Pro Bowl last year is a shame. But he has come into 2021, and I know it's just been a single week. But for him to just put that 55-yarder straight through the uprights, and if you go and you watch the video, it is one of those highlights where as soon as Carlson kicks it, give it one Mississippi, two Mississippi, before the ball has even gone over the uprights, he's flexing. He knows that, hey, I just took this game to overtime. So for Daniel Carlson, friend of the program, this cold one is for you, good sir. And on that note, we are out of here. It is time for us to continue on the marathon that is the 2021 regular season. So for Eddie Pascal, my man Ray behind the glass on the ones and twos, Alexandra, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps get our little program from A to Z, we thank you deeply, humbly, and oh so sincerely. And a friendly scheduling note for all you guys out there. Our post-game show this week, the fifth quarter, is going to be me and our guy Donald Penn, man. Really excited that DP is going to be back in the mix. Very, very thrilled to welcome him in to the remote audio studio here. And it is going to be so much fun to see big number 72. And you're going to see a lot of Donald over the next couple months with us. He's going to be involved in a lot of things. And I cannot wait for his first episode of the fifth quarter to drop on Sunday night. But as I said, you'll get that on Sunday night. And then you will catch us at our usual time, at our usual place for our, I guess, week three episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.